Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
So we're in a series where Jesus dropped the mic. Jesus, man, his whole life, Jesus said crazy things that just put you in conflict with you. Jesus made these. So Jesus gets a whole group of people together. Like, he's got this massive following, right? And now you got to remember that when we read scripture, we read scripture being like, we kind of know if you were raised in Christianity or around Christianity at all, you kind of know the answers to some of the statements that are made. So you view them with that skewedness of what Jesus said. But Jesus gets this whole group of people together and he goes, okay. Here's the deal. We're starting a ministry out, and here's the thing. Unless if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can have no part of me. I'm okay with that. That would be time for me to leave. Now that I know that what he was talking about was bread and wine, I'll stay around for that. Jesus did not say, I'm the broccoli of life. He said, I am the bread of life. But if you're talking about eating somebody's flesh and drinking somebody's blood, man, that sounds like Jim Jones or David Koresh. Like, I don't know that I want to hang around for that. And Jesus put all these people, these multitudes of people in conflict where they're just basically 12 guys standing around with the exception of a couple of stragglers. And Jesus looks at Peter. I love this. Imagine Jesus looking at you and going, this is the statement he makes. Are you going to leave too? I love Peter's answer. I could see if Peter goes, yeah, Jesus, I'm leaving, Dave. You're crazy. Peace out. You know, I left my fishing boat. My wife thinks I'm crazy. My father-in-law, you know, told my wife she could have married up, and I feel like I'm proving him right. Or he could have said, no, Jesus, man, I got you. We're ride or die. I love Peter's answer was this. Where else am I going to go? I'm this far in. Like, I've jumped out of the plane with no chute, Jesus. Where am I? Not, Jesus, I believe in you. That's going to come later, right? Just like, I don't know. Because Jesus has this way of putting us in conflict, not only with the world around us, but with us. One of the main places that I stand in conflict the most is not with the world. And trust me, I stand in conflict with the world about 95% of the time. But I stand in conflict with myself even more than that. Paul said it this way. Paul said, the things I don't want to do are the things I find myself doing. I went, Paul, I get you, man. So in this thing of leaning into the tension of Jesus drops the mic. He says things that we just can't wrap our mind around. It leads me to a question, and it's if you're not careful, you're going to answer this through your religious lens. But who's leading who? Who's following who? Like, are you following Jesus, or is Jesus following you? I love the license plate on the front of people's cars that says, Jesus is my co-pilot. I don't want Jesus co-pilot. I need Jesus to pilot and me to co-pilot. Because if you leave it to me, I'm going to get us lost. And you created the universe. And then I take it a step further. So let me ask you a question. Who's serving whom? Like, does God exist just to serve me and meet my needs? Well, yeah. On some level, God does do that. But then Paul said this. He said, and in the freedom of Christ, I realized that I'm a slave to Christ. Wait a minute. I'm free, but I choose to be a slave. And God, I believe that God is here to meet our needs. God said, I'll meet all your needs according to my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. But God does that. It's called a cyclical relationship, which means a circle. That as we pursue and follow God and fall more and more into surrender, we gain more and more freedom and more blessing. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Welcome to God. Jesus made a statement like this. Those that want to be first go to the back of the line. Now, Thanksgiving is coming up, and let me tell you something as a fat boy. That process doesn't make sense, except for when you understand what Jesus is saying. He said, look, man, this is a drop the mic moment. If you really want to be first with Jesus, sometimes you've got to step back and let other people go in front of you. And once you figure out the beauty of that and the process of that, you find the promises of God in that. So what if this? What if with our mouth we would say that we live to serve God, and not the other way around? That basically, that those of us that who have become Christians, we say that it's our job to live and do everything that God commands or requires us to do as His servants. And if that's true, have you ever made these statements? I know I shouldn't, but I couldn't help myself. But I know it's wrong. But so I go back to the beginning and I say, man, if we all agree that we're serving Him, is that really true? Because here's what we do. We compare ourselves to the people around us. I'm not really trying to be everything that God wants me to be. I'm just trying to be better than the people around me. I got a pastor friend of mine that says you should have two kinds of people in your life, especially those of us that are in the ministry. One, you should have a really good pastor friend in your life. Because a pastor friend, when you put your life in a ditch, when you stop obeying the Lord and you screw your life up, you can go to that guy and he can help you out. But then you need one really, really bad friend in your life. Because when you fall and you compare your failure to their life, it'll make you feel better. So you need those two people in your life all the time. So I got people naming names. You know who it is. We're in church. We know the pastor. But you know who, anyway, you know, it makes me feel better. So Jesus, as we lean into the tension, Jesus is in a group of people. And you're going to find out in just a few minutes that they're actually church people. But it comes from Matthew chapter 21, 28 through 32. Matthew 21, 28 through 32. I'll give it to you one more time. Matthew 21, 28 through 32. I love this. Jesus starts off this question. And here's the thing. If you start out with this first sentence, you automatically know Jesus is setting you up. When Jesus looks at you and starts off with, what do you think? Don't answer. Do you know how many times in this culture people have walked up to me and said, what do you think? I don't know. I'm on the same roller coaster you're on. I just put my hands up and go, woo! People ask me why I worship like this all the time. I'm like, because I'm on a roller coaster ride of life and this is all I've got left. Yeah. You ever been with a kid on a roller coaster and you're click, 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 and you get about to the top and the kid's, I don't want to do it anymore. And you're like, well, you ain't getting off. Because the get off is worse than the ride. So what do you teach them to do? You just like throw your hands up. Woo! Can I tell you something? If you're having a hard time on this ride of life, throw your hands up. This coming Friday at 7 p.m. worship night. And just go woo and just ride it out because you can't get off of it. So Jesus looks at these folks and says, so what do you think? A man has two sons and he went to the first one and said, son, go to work in the vineyard today. Verse 29. And he answered, I will not. Now, can I be honest with you? When I read this, the dad in me came out. Anybody else identify? When your dad just asked you to do something and you looked at him and said, no. But afterward, he changed his mind and he went. Verse 30. And so he went to the other son and said the same. He said, hey son, will you go work in my vineyard? It's time to go. And he answered, I go, sir. But did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? And they said, the first. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that the tax collectors and the prostitutes will go into the kingdom of heaven before y'all. Now he just gave context to who he's talking about. He's talking about church folks. He said, yeah, there's some people out in the world who God's calling and they're going, no, no, no. But eventually a lot of those people are going to change their mind. Can I be honest with you? The great thing about the world sucking is people are changing their mind in record numbers. We had two people saved just in first service. And honestly, I'm just being transparent. I shouldn't say this online, but that service was way down. We had hands going. I'm like, man, two people give their life out of a small community of believers. And I'm like, man, what an amazing time. Because as things get worse, the answer will become yes and yes more and more. I changed my mind. Yes. I wasn't about Jesus, but when I couldn't find toilet paper, all of a sudden I needed some help from the Lord. Isn't it funny how something as small as toilet paper can make you focus on the Lord? But then he said there's this other group of people who will nod their head yes, but then not do anything. And it circles me back to the original question that I asked. How many of us are the Lord? Have we told the Lord yes and then sat still on his commands? How many of us has the Lord began to deal with and you looked at God? Have you ever told God no? Yeah. If not, you should try it. You should try telling the Lord no once. Because I'm going to tell you how it worked for me. I felt a call into the ministry and I did not want to go. Because you would think at 17, 18 years old, picking up a girl with I want to be a preacher would be a good line. It is not. So what I tried to do is run as far away from God as I could. And I'm looking back running away from God. And what I figured out is I ended up running into God over and over and over and over again until I hit a breaking point. I said, God, even so, you can use me. You ever told God you wouldn't, but you ended up doing it? I want to see the response on this. Have you ever told God you would, but then you didn't? You ever told God, see now I set y'all up just to get an agreement with me. You ever sat there and told the Lord, oh man, I'll do anything you want to. And God says, do that. And you're like, yeah, that wasn't really what I was talking about. No, I was talking about this other stuff I wanted to deal with. I kind of wanted to keep that one in the closet. Mm-hmm. Here's the funny thing. God makes this statement. And I'm going to add a couple of categories to it. He said, I'll use tax collectors and prostitutes and drunkards and sinners. He said, man, those are the people I really want to use. Why? Because here's the thing. The funny thing about a passionate man, the thing I love about Peter is Peter would screw stuff up all the time. But when he figured out the right answer, he'd go at it hard. He didn't always get it right. Well, look at Peter. Peter's standing in the garden with Jesus, 3.5 years of ministry. But he's still carrying a dagger. Just in case I need to shank a fool. They come to arrest Jesus and he thought, good as time as any. Right? Because look how many times Jesus has forgiven me before. He goes to stab a guy. Now look at what a great... Because here's the thing. You ever tried to be bad and knew you were good? What happens is you try to stab a fool and you cut his ear off. That's not even a good miss. I was just trying to back into the parking place where you're in the building. I mean, that's that kind of miss, right? Like it's that big of a miss. He's like, man, how did we get here from there? Because here's the thing. But when Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, put your sword away. He who lives by the sword will die by the sword. He said, Peter, you weren't created to be bad. I had a kid in one of my youth groups. And as he got older, he did like 19 felonies. And he sat in our living room before he got ready to go get sentenced. He said, man, will you pray that God will get me out? I said, brother, let me ask you a question. When are you going to stop being bad because you're not good at it? No, you're bad at being bad. You get caught if you sneeze. They arrest you. You're not good at it. I know. So here's the thing. Have you ever figured out that when God takes bad people like tax collectors and prostitutes and those kind of things, and those people finally say yes, the difference between them and a lot of church folks is they mean yes. They're committed to a whole life change because they figured out something that some of us miss because we haven't totally screwed our life up. And that's this, that we are under authority. Look, if you got your Bibles, flip with me real quick. Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 13. Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 13. There was a man. Hey, what would you do if you ever had a chance to astound Jesus? Like, have you ever, like, did you get up this morning and you're like, I want to trip Jesus out? Watch this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. It said, and when he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him. And he said, Lord, my servant lays paralyzed at home, and he's suffering terribly. Now, here's the thing. We all hit this moment where something's going on in our life, and we need Jesus. Now, sometimes it has to do with our own issues. Sometimes it has to do with our kid is sick, our loved one's sick, and we have to begin to process before the Lord for somebody else. And that's what happens with this guy. So he's got a servant at home, and man, he's just suffering. Verse 7, and Jesus said to him, I'll come and heal him. Now let me tell you something. If I need Jesus to show up and Jesus looks at me and goes, I'll go with you. We're going to your house. Woo! Let's go. I'm taking Jesus. I'm going to get some water out and be like, hey, can you hook a brother up? You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be like, you know, I got stuff we need to talk about at my house, right? Like, come on in. I'm locking the doors. My friends ain't coming over. My family ain't coming over. I ain't trying to share Jesus. I want Jesus for myself because we got some things we can probably work through. Please don't make me feel like I'm the only one. I mean, I'll let y'all have him when I'm done with him, but we need... Is that not a normal response? Watch the centurion, verse 8. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority. I say to one, go, and he goes, and I tell another to come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled. Stop. Jesus created the universe. The whole universe. Not all that freaked out by it. He watched the flood happen and go away. Wasn't all that freaked out about it. He turned water into wine. Wasn't that freaked out about it? He's healed the sick. Wasn't all that freaked out about it? But a guy who looks at him and says this, I understand authority. I have people that work for me and I tell them to go and they do what I tell them to. I tell them come here and they come when I call. I tell them to stop and they stop. I tell them to do it and they do it. So Jesus, you ain't got to go anywhere. You keep going about what you're doing. All you got to do is say the word, I understand authority. And Jesus marveled. What does that mean? He said, man, in humanity, this is not a common trait. So let me ask you a question. Are you a man or a woman who's under the authority of God? If God tells you to come, are you willing to come? If God tells you to go, are you willing to go? If God tells you to start, are you willing to start? And if God tells you to stop, are you willing to stop? Can you imagine? So I watch way more YouTube than I ever should. But in YouTube, they've got these guys who guard the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and those dudes are legit. They will pace and guard the tomb of these unknown soldiers' remains back and forth, and they'll do it in the sun and the blister and heat. There are actually stories of guards who have passed out because they refused to stop. They'll do it in the freezing rain. They'll do it in the snow. They'll do it. It doesn't matter. They're just not going to stop. As a matter of fact, there's a video on YouTube of these bees that came and kept presumably either bugging or stinging one of the guards, and he never reacted. Now, let me tell you something. If you send a swarm of bees into like some Marine recruits, they're going to react. Let me tell you something. My drill instructor could only make me do push-ups. I mean, not that I was in the Marines. I'm just saying if I had gone, I was in the Cub Scouts for 2 days. It was rough. But I'm only going to fear the drill sergeant so much, right? What can he do? I mean, he can only punish me. But getting stung by a bee, that ain't no joke. I'm going to react because you know what? I'm not disciplined like these elite people are. See, the average Christian will react to whatever comes around them. A person under authority just says, look, Jesus said, don't stop. I can't stop. Jesus said, believe, I have to believe. Jesus said, stop acting like that. I have to figure out a way to stop acting like that. Because here's what we think. We think the word repent means to turn your back to, from, and walk away from your sin, right? That's repent. And when we think about that, we always think about that in terms of flat ground. But I've already confessed that I watch too many YouTube videos. Have you ever watched a dog try to run up the sliding board after the kids? And he'll run, slide back down. Run, slide back down. Run. Yeah, slide back down. And then finally, about the time you think you've laughed to body functions are about to happen, he runs and finally gets up. Can I be honest with you? Some things that God's going to ask you to change in your life, you're going to be able to run away from and just turn your back to because you're on flat ground. They're not that hard. But sometimes we have addictions and we have problems in our life that we have to claw our way out of. It's more like clawing your way out of the mud rather than walking on flat ground. Does that make any sense to you? And what we want to do is we want to judge that one chapter in our life rather than the whole body of work. The centurion soldier knew this. He said, man, I understand this, that if God says that I can do it or that it will happen, I have to embrace that. Jesus said this, I tell you, many come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob into the kingdom of heaven. While the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness in that place where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done, for you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Let me ask you a question. Are you a man or woman under authority? Are you a man or woman that God can say, go, and you'll say yes? If he says stay, you'll say yes. If he says do it, you'll say yes. If he says stop doing it, you'll say yes. Even if it's something you don't want him to talk to you about. Have you ever said, God, you can deal with all these issues in my life, but this one right here I just want to keep. I'm going to go ahead and play spoiler alert. That's probably the one he's going to start with. But a person under authority understands this, that you have to allow God to lean into those places in your life. Matter of fact, let's look at this. John chapter 15, 1 through 5. John 15, 1 through 5. In light of their two sons, one says yes but means no, and one says no but ends up doing it. In light of we are people under authority, let's lean into this conversation that Jesus has. I'm the true vine, and my Father, the vine dresser. Now, we have no idea what vine dresser means because we don't use this in America. I'm going to give you the Southern version. Pruner. He's a pruner. He said, I'm the true vine, and my Father, he's the pruner. He's going to lop some stuff off. Now, you got to understand, when you trim trees, I've got two kinds of trees in my house. And in front of my house, I've got boxwoods. Those green trees everybody and their brother has. When it comes time to trim them, I can trim them in about 10 minutes. I get out the clippers. And I'm done. But behind my house, I have oak trees. They're like 100 feet tall. We've got a guy who comes first service. His name's Joe. Joe is a tree guy. I don't know what is that arborist? Is that right? He cuts trees. I called him over to my house. I said, Joe, my head strippers aren't going to work on that, are they? Can you say, one, I'm going to fall out and die. But two, it wasn't created for that. But just because the job is bigger than what I think I can do doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be pruned. Have you ever felt like what God was getting ready to prune out of your life was bigger than anything you could tackle? Jesus said this. He said, I'm the true vine. Back up, please. I'm the true vine. Can I have verse 1, please? That's okay. I mean, I've got it written down, but I'd rather read it. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, here's the thing. Are you ready to be pruned? Here's the tension of this morning's conversation. If you're like, man, if God asks you to do something, you should just say yes and do it, right? Like, that's the obvious answer. And then you sit there and go, man, of course we're under authority to God. Okay, well, get ready, because God wants to cut some stuff out of your life. Verse 2. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every one of them. If you don't bear fruit, God said, look, if you be hot or be cold or I'll spew you out of my mouth. Either live for me or don't live for me. But if you're not bearing fruit, I'm done with you. I'll wait on you to repent. I got other things to work on. Pastor, that's harsh. Yep, that's God. Drop the mic and walk off. But then he says this, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. How many branches that bear fruit? All of them get pruned. Because here's the thing, as you grow in God, squirrely stuff will grow with it. You ever start reading the Bible and you're, oh, this is what God means. I never will forget when I found grace, I thought grace was a get out of hell free card to do whatever I wanted to do. Okay, I'm by myself. And I was like, well, I can do whatever I want to. The first thing I learned how to do was repent. And then I found where God also said, you know what, but don't use my grace as an excuse to sin. Wah, wah, wah. So then I had to discover what real grace meant like, looked like, and what God really meant by grace. But I learned this, that we believe in three steps. We believe that Thrive Church is a place where anybody can come to know God. Like, man, this is the place where you can live in the tension of, do I even believe in God? Now, our prayer is that hopefully you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, but only you can do that. That's between you and the Lord. But this is a safe place to be anyway. We believe that the second step in that, and this is a step you're never going to come out of, is that you grow in your faith. And the third thing, and you're never going to leave step two. You're always going to be growing. There's always something else to learn. You never get done because every tree that bears fruit gets pruned. You're never there. Never. The pastor's not there. The people aren't there. We're all getting stuff chopped out of our life every day. Nobody amen that. That's scary to me. Can I tell you why it's so scary? Because it's factual. Right. I met a lady one time. She said, since I got saved, I hadn't sinned. I said, well, what do you do with the scripture that says, if a man says he has no sin, then he's a liar and the truth isn't in him? Jesus won't make you popular. But what happened was we had another young believer who was sitting listening to that. And she was like, I sin every day. Maybe I'm not doing something right. And so I had to lean into it a little bit. Because here's the thing. If you're a real Christ follower, you're constantly uncomfortable. God will ask you to worship to music you don't like that's too loud or too quiet. He'll ask you to have patience with somebody that you want to snap. He'll make you turn the cheek to somebody you want to punch. He'll make you hold your tongue, because the hardest member of your body to control is your stinking mouth. You want to prove it? Go to Thanksgiving dinner with your in-laws. You're going to have an exercise to grow fruit. Why would the Lord keep sending me there? Baby, because He's pruning you. Said it, and every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. Why? Why does God put us in that tension? So that you can bear more fruit. You're not going to get better doing the same stuff you've done for the last 3 or 4 years. It's time to do it different. Verse 3. Already you're clean because the word that I've spoken into you. Jesus leans into this because the first thing you're going to do when you read this, you're going to fall in condemnation that Jesus never intended. Well, because I struggle and I don't say yes and do it every time, obviously I'm not saved. No, Romans says this, that if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. The process of believing in Christ is into salvation. But then he says this, but then you got to grow fruit. You can't stay a baby all your life. Verse 4. He said, abide in me and I in you. Abide in me, live in me, and I live in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Now remember, you're a person under authority. How do we abide in Christ? We abide in Christ by spending time in His Word, in worship, Friday night, 7 o'clock. That we spend time worshiping, that we spend time in prayer. But here's the thing. How many times have you made statements like this? Oh man, I'm too tired. Remember we talked about authority, right? Can you imagine your boss said to projects due in the morning, you went into work and said, but boss, I was tired. Why were you so tired? Because I was watching Netflix. I had to take my kid to a ball game. I had to mow the yard, Jesus. What would your boss say? Your boss would look at you and go, you horrible employee, and probably think about firing you. Are we really under authority of God? If God says do it, you do it. Pastor, that's rough preaching. No, that's like some straight up preaching. That's like grow up preaching. That's like repent preaching. Because Jesus said, look, unless if you abide in me, unless if you live in me, and I can live in you, because as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I'm the vine and you're the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Here's the thing. Jesus basically just said the exact same thing twice. Why? It's called a double enunciation. It means this. When God says something twice, pay attention to it. He said, look, the fact of the matter is you've got to abide in me. You've got to spend your time around other believers. That's why the church is so important. That's why when I hear things like, man, what we're saying online is being censored, it just absolutely tears my nerves up. Because here's the thing, we can't do this thing by ourselves. God said this. He said, all that stuff you've been trying to quit and haven't been able to, maybe it's because you haven't invited me into it. We had a guy who pressure washed our church this week. We were talking to him, and he looked at me and he said, yeah, man, he said, I was an alcoholic. He said, I was a functional alcoholic, but I was a raging alcoholic. He said, 3 o'clock every day, I'm done, I'm drinking. Just the way it is. So I was successful. I had my own business, still do. He said, then one day, he said, I decided that the Lord didn't want me to be a drunk anymore. He said, I got saved, but I was still drunk. Anybody ever been there? I got saved, but I was still a heathen. Jesus was in me. I just wasn't letting a lot of him out. He says, then what I started doing was this. He said, every time I'd have a drink, he said, I'd just praise God the whole time I was drinking that I was no longer an alcoholic. He said, one day, he said, I poured my last little bit of whiskey into my glass. Thank God I wasn't an alcoholic and realized I didn't have a taste for it anymore and dumped it out and hadn't had a drink now in 20 or 30 years. He said, my wife's been trying to quit smoking. I'm not saying that smoking's a sin, but he said, she said, I've been trying to quit. I can't do it. And he said, I told her from now on, every time she smoked a cigarette, she needed to take a 5-minute praise break and thank God she wasn't smoking anymore. That's weird, Pastor. No, it makes total sense to me. Why? Because apart from God, you can't do anything. What if you praised him in the process? What if you thank God for what he was making you, not necessarily what you are right now? So here's the reality. Are you letting God really prune your life? Like, who's running your life? Who's really, really, are you really doing what God is telling you to do? See, I believe this. I believe that this is a drop the moment between you and the Lord. I really do. I feel like God's trying to put you into some tension with yourself. Have you been saying yes to something that God's been telling you to do, but then not doing it? Or maybe you've just been saying no to what God is calling you to do. Maybe you're at a place where you need to come under real authority. Where you need to just find an obedience level to God that maybe you've never found before. Or maybe you're in this place where you've had some stuff grow out of control in your life. And you need to allow the Lord really to prune you. It's not a place to fall into condemnation. It's just a place to find action. So we come to close with every head down, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. This is just a moment between you and the Lord. If you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm here, but I've been saying no to God for a long time. I hear him calling me. I run into him every time I try to run from him, but I've just never stopped and really given my life to you. Fallen under your authority, done life your way. Whether you're watching this online or you're here in house, if you're here today, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you down front, I'm not going to do anything like that. But I want to pray with you. You're going to say, you know what, Pastor, I'm here and I've got to stop running from the conflict. I've got to stop running from the tension, and I've got to embrace that tension and grow from it. If that's you today and you say, you know what, man, I need to get my life right with the Lord, will you just slip your hand up? Thank you, thank you. Anybody else? For those that raised their hand online and the folks that did here in house, I'm just going to ask that you just pray this prayer out loud with me. As a matter of fact, maybe you were still in the wrestling match between you and the Lord, that you were wrestling on raising your hand, and now you feel like the moment's passed. I'm here to tell you the moment hasn't passed. We ask that you pray this prayer out loud with us all across this building, sinner and saint alike. We believe that this is a moment where you can invite Jesus into your life, that He can be the Lord and Savior of your life. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I invite you into my life. Forgive me of my sins and make me right with you. Jesus, I need your grace and your forgiveness. I ask you to be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Man, will you just give those folks a round of applause? That's the biggest, that is the biggest decision you can make. But before I let you go, I feel like this. I feel like there's some folks that have been Christ followers, but maybe just not on the level you needed to be. I knew better, but I kept doing it anyway. I just want to pray over you before I let you go, because here's what I believe. I don't believe that God lets us have these messages so that we feel bad about ourselves. I don't. But I think that God has them because sometimes you need a reality check. I thought I was doing better than I was, and then in light of Jesus talking, I'm not. Can I be honest with you? That's what church should be about. So then I get to go home and I get to try to put these things in motion. I'm gonna do some of them well. I'm not going to do some of them well. But then I'm going to come back next week and I'm going to lean into the next conversation. I'm going to do some of that well when I go home, and I'm probably going to fumble some of it. And then somebody's going to see me wrestling with the content. They're going to go, "Hey, what are you wrestling with?" You're going to be like, "You're not going to believe this. We're in this series, Jesus dropped the mic." And I figure I'm dropping stuff every time I turn around. Next thing you know, you'll be trying to juggle some stuff together. I'm okay with that. I think that God's okay with the tension of you not having it all okay, because it causes you to ask Him, "God, I need your help figuring this stuff out." Can I be honest with you? Man, I've really leaned in this week to Jesus dropped the mic with me about turning the other cheek, man, just letting things be okay sometimes. And can I be honest with you? The peace, now my wife and I were talking about it. I have to tell myself to shut up and calm down a lot. I dropped my phone this week, shattered the screen. So, by the way, if I don't have your number, if you text me and I'm like, "Who is this?" It's not that I don't love you. I just don't have your number anymore. And they went to fix my phone. In the process of fixing my phone, they broke something else on it. And then I thought they were going to do the shady thing where they like blamed it on me, but I heard them in the back talking about how it was their fault. And so I felt like, prepare for blast off. Like, I was ready. But that and turn the other cheek don't always like jive, right? So I just like, psh, just turn the rocket off. I don't need to nuke anybody right now. And they walked out and I said, "Hey, man, how y'all doing?" The guy's like, "Yeah, man. So we went in and looked at your phone. I'm waiting on it, right?" Like, I'm waiting on it. And I'm like, "Hey, man, stuff happens. You know, if I got to buy a new phone, I got to buy a new phone." He said, "Well, actually, I went in and looked and we jacked your phone up." And I said, "Well, life happens, doesn't it?" And the guy stood there looking at me and he's like, "Dude, I was waiting on you to like go on my head." And I'm like, "It's a phone, dude. We ain't talking about Jesus. It's just a phone." And he's like, "Wow, I don't even know what to do with that." And I'm like, "Yeah, Jesus just dropped the mic in the middle of your repair shop. You deal with Him. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? I just passed my half of it. You got to figure your own half of it out." Does this make sense? But here's what I believe. I believe that God's not done with you. And that you don't need to fall into condemnation, but you need to rise up to the calling that God's placed on your life. And you need to live and be everything that He called you to be. And the only way to do it is to allow God to prune you. Not because He doesn't love you. Scripture says God chastises those whom He loves. If your intention, it's because God does love you, not because He doesn't. So if you're here today, again, I'm just going to ask you just to pray with me one more time. But as you bow your head, turn your heart towards God. If you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor, I'm in that pruning process, man, today. God just kind of stepped on my toes and I need to change some stuff. Will you just raise your hand? I just want to pray over you. God, for every hand that's raised, God, every person that just leans into the tension of what you say, God, I just pray that God, you just give them courage, God, that you give them strength. You let the Holy Spirit just flow in and through their life, God, that you just do in them what only you can do. God, we're going to praise you for the process. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.